Welcome back, everyone, to this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, where this week, Doc Hardbody Harper and I are covering episode number 24 from July the 11th of 1992. We are in Cumberland High School in Cumberland, Kentucky still. Doc, did you notice that in the previous episode? I'm sorry, let me first ask you a question because you get your fucking panties in a bunch if I don't. How you doing? You doing all right this week?
So did you, do you think that they locked the doors outside and barred everybody inside and they couldn't leave, so they just decided to keep running episodes? Because this is, I swear we've been here since, like, episode 12.
Well, I can tell you this much. Remember when we were in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum studio? I felt like we were there for, like, 6 weeks. And although we weren't, it kind of felt that way at one point. Remember? I'm sure you remember that, but
I remember everything.
Okay. Harper, how you doing, man? You doing all right this week?
Yeah, doing all right. Kicking ass.
Kicking ass? You bang any bitches this week? You had a long list?
Nah.
You didn't imitate?
I've been busy.
You'd been busy, just not with you busy playing Contra?
Yeah.
You didn't go with Primetime Brian Lee down to Benton, Tennessee and get you some?
No, fuck that.
Well, look, we're still in Cumberland. Did you notice that in the previous episodes it's daytime and now the windows at the top of the gymnasium are dark? Like,
yeah, that's why I said what I said. I was like, I wonder if they got locked in there and just said, while we wait for somebody to come rescue us, let's just keep filming some shows.
Well, I say, here's the thing. I don't think they locked them in there. And the reason I'm saying that is because the crowd at the top in the bleachers, they appear to have dissipated a bit. That's all I'm going to say. Almost like, and I've looked at it online. This was a marathon taping on that day. So, yes, the crowd has dissipated a bit at the very top as it is now nighttime in the arena. With all that said, Bob and Dutch, we get to the opening of the show. Dutch and Bob Cottle run down the card for today's episode. They mention showing again the brawl between the Heavenly Bodies and the Fantastics, along with Down and Dirty with Dutch is going to be the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Wonderful later on in the episode. But for now, Bob Cottle belts out his now famous line to me, "Let's go to the ring." I wish I could do a Bob Cottle voice, but that's basically
what Wait, hold on. Did you notice that Dutch changed shirts but not pants from last week's episode?
I got to be honest with you. I didn't notice, but if you recall, there was some of the earlier episodes where we talked about Bullet Bob, and Bullet Bob had the same fucking outfit on for like six straight weeks. Bullet Bob, we love you, man. We're just poking fun, brother.
Bullet Bob, you better not mess with Bullet Bob. I bet he could still whip your ass.
How old is Bullet Bob now, Harper? I mean, Doc, do you know? I'm sure you'll Google it while we're looking.
I can look, but I want to, well, and I'm going to catch myself some time here while I talk about it, while I look it up. But I think he's in his mid-70s is what I'm going to say as I'm typing this into the machine there, the Googler.
Bullet Bob could stretch all three
77, of us at the same time. 77 years old.
Bullet Damn. Bob right now could still stretch all three of us at the same time.
So you got to figure he's about 51 here.
Right. 10 years older than me. Holy shit. I'm a fucking old man now. Anyway, so we got Bullet Bob with Dutch Mantel with a different shirt. I guess he's lost the bow tie then too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's get to the first match. We got Killer Kyle, who I think is Harper's new favorite person, and we got Nitro Danny Davis. Danny Davis gets a great reaction from the crowd, but he appears to be overmatched against Big Killer Kyle, who has been getting a bit of a push in recent weeks in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, or they're trying to build him as a bit of a powerhouse. Dutch Mantel says Nitro Danny Davis may be a small stick of dynamite, but dynamite also comes in cases, and Kyle is equivalent to a case and not a stick like Danny Davis. Great analogy there, Dutch. Danny Davis uses plenty of quickness on Kyle in the beginning of the match to stay away from Killer Kyle. Unfortunately, that does not last long, although Davis does get a very nice dropkick at the very beginning of the match that sends Kyle over the top rope. The finish of the match happens when Killer Kyle sends Nitro Danny Davis into his violin case that he carries. Kyle gets the pin, but Dixie Dynamite comes into the ring and tells referee Mark Curtis what happened. Mark Curtis reverses the decision. Dutch Mantel is not happy with this reversal, but is happy that Killer Kyle attacked Dixie with the violin case also before leaving the ring as he gets in his shit after being pinned, or after the reversal. I don't want to say not necessarily a great match. It was short. Served its purpose of continuing to push Killer Kyle as a heel. Doc, what are your thoughts on the match?
Did you notice that Danny Davis was billed from right here in the USA?
Yes, I did. I don't know if that's the first time they did that, though.
No. They've been saying that for forever.
So that works if he's fighting like the Iron Sheik, but he's fighting a guy that's billed from New York City. And I hate to tell all you hillbillies something, but that's still the United States.
Hell's Kitchen.
I also had a note here that the people in this godforsaken place love them some Danny Davis.
They go, I've told you that on a previous episode. Man, they lose their mind for Nitro and Danny Davis.
Also, did you notice that there was a Roseanne Barr reference here?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. What did he say?
Yeah.
What was said?
I don't remember, but her name got brought. I think it was in reference to being fat.
It was something about being big. And it's something like, Roseanne Barr was big, but, you know, she couldn't beat, I forgot what the fuck they said, but I was like, Roseanne Barr, what the fuck?
Oh, boy. Okay. No,
What's this music from?
What?
A Killer Kyle's music. What the fuck? Is that from Spy versus Spy or something?
I have no clue what you're talking about, Spy versus Spy.
Spy Magazine, dumbass.
Okay. No, I don't know. I mean, Doc, do you know what his music's from?
It's from a TV show or something. Isn't it from like a...
Y'all got me on this one. I don't know. I don't know.
We established last week that you don't know anything about music, so let me work on it while you continue to move us along the episode, and I'll jump in.
Okay, let's move it. Let's move along. We got Bullet Bob Armstrong with Bob Caudle in a promo after the match, and Bob Armstrong fines Killer Kyle $500 for using the violence.
Hold on, I got it.
Okay.
And I knew this, so I'm just going to come back and say I knew this, but I'd forgotten it. It's Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs. It's a somewhat famous song from the 60s.
Okay, do you feel better about yourself for looking that up?
I just like to give our fans all the facts.
Okay. As we move along, again, we got Bullet Bob Armstrong in a promo with Bob Caudle. Bob Armstrong fines Killer Kyle $500 for using the violin case. No shock there. I mean, it is what it is. Bob Armstrong also announces Fire on the Mountain, the next big show that will be held August 8th, 1992 in Freedom Hall in Johnson City. This is Smoky Mountain's next big event with more news to come on the card in future weeks. It's kind of confusing here because they've been talking about Summer Blast, and Summer Blast, which still hasn't taken place, but we're also talking about Fire on the Mountain coming too. So I don't know.
Well, this is where it gets real confusing because technically in real life, Summer Blast probably has happened. But in that building that night, none of it's happened.
Right.
And the TV hasn't caught up.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It kind of gets real confusing between the two. So you got Summer Blast and you got Fire on the Mountain. But anyway, we still love Smoky Mountain, but it is what it is. All right. We got then you got any other thoughts? You got thoughts about that promo before I move on, any of you?
No.
I'm going to take that as a no. Doc likes to like pause before he talks a lot of times. He like waits like an extra inordinate amount of time. So, all right, we got it. We got a y'all ready for Tim Horner? Tim Horner's about to cut one.
Monotone Tim Horner.
So we got a Tim Horner promo, and I got to play it only because it's Horner. So here we go.
White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, last week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you felt the sting of the leather, and you felt it good.
You know, Bobby, come in there and he put something on my back, Ajax won't take off, and I ain't forgot it because every time I laid down for a couple of days, you know, I felt that. But let's go to this VTR and let's show the people.
All right, fans, let's take another look at that. Horner now whipped into the ropes, goes right behind Kazana. Here's Kazana over Horner now. He may roll him up and stack him right here. He's got him, Dutch.
Wait a minute.
At Natural Bridge, 2, 3.
He got him.
Wait a minute. The match.
Wait a minute.
White Lightning, Tim Horner.
Here's Bill, buddy. He's got the strap right around to throw the belt around the throat of Tim Horner.
Now.
And slung him down, gone at him with that strap, knocked him down. Look at that. He's beating him with that strap right in the center of the ring.
Justice.
Justice.
Fans, we got to get some order restored here.
That is justice. As he whips and beats away at Tim Horner, let's get the heck out of here, Dutch.
Hi, Horner. Last week.
week on TV, I give you the whooping with your mind that your mammy should have given you when you was a little boy. It looked like I hurt your feelings a little bit. You ain't ever had a taste this before, and you from Tennessee? Let me tell you something, Horner, and you mean to tell me that you asked for an Indian strap match at Summer Blast? Are you an idiot? Have you had your IQ checked? Did your mama bounce you on your head or on your butt when you was a born? Huh? Are you that big of a goof? The only reason that I left last week was I left the scene of an accident, because that could have caused a lot more damage, boy. So the way it looks like to me is that I beat you up so bad that you wrecked your car in your own hometown. I'm on your mind when you wake up. I'm on your mind in the middle of the day. I'm on your mind at bedtime, baby. I got your whole family messed up. Your mammy can't eat. Your daddy can't eat. You can't sit down because I tore that thing up. That's what I'm talking about. So Summer Blast, Tim Horner, if you think up till now that you've had a taste of the Nature Boy Buddy Landell, I'm going to lock him the burgum on you, baby, right there at Summer Blast.
Next weekend, it all comes down. Summer Blast, Nature Boy Buddy Landell, I'm coming for you. The straps are going on. My left wrist on your left wrist, 8 feet of leather. Me and you. And you can run if you want to, hide if you want to, but I'm on the other end and I'll find you. You know, I had one nerve left and you got on it pretty good. Now I'm going to get on your nerve. I'm going to be all over you like a wet T-shirt. Summer Blast 92. I'm coming at you, Buddy Landell, and I'm going to strap you. You know, you got the first licks in first, but I'm going to get the last, and they hurt a lot worse.
All right, fans, next weekend, Summer Blast. You heard it from White Lightning, Tim Horner. We're going to be back. We'll have more action. Don't go away right after this.
This is just fucking pitiful. I ain't waiting for you to throw it to me.
I love it. I love all of it. Oh fuck, Buddy Landell is great. Horner, go ahead.
Horner is just fucking awful. So you can run if you want. Okay, you can hide if you want. Motherfucker, you're strapped together. No, he can't go hide. That's the whole point of the fucking strap, is that he can't get away from you. You're a fucking idiot. We brought in fucking Ajax again. That shit was so funny it popped Harper at the beginning. I'm not even getting to the point that Tim, and maybe this is a thing that but from wherever I lived, it was VCR, not VTR. So I don't know, but it's a good reason to kick him in the shin on something else. And in the midst of a Horner shit sandwich, in the middle at least was Buddy Landell, and his was good shit talking. I popped when he said, "The only reason I left is I left the scene of an accident."
Buddy's great on this.
Yeah.
I really like Buddy. Like, Buddy, like, I really believe Buddy's just telling the truth here. Buddy's like, fuck you, I really hate you in real life, so I'm about to turn it up a notch. He starts talking about, you know, I gave you a whooping your mammy, not your mama, not your mom, but your mammy should have gave you. Buddy throws some more insults at Horner, talking about Tim's mom bouncing him on his head and not his ass, insinuating Horner has brain damage. And then we cut back to Bob and Horner. And Horner says next weekend it all goes down. Horner says the straps are going on with 8 feet of leather. And I agree with you, Doc. He can't run. That's the point of the match. But, yeah. Also, one more thing. I should have said this. He says VTR. I'm going to just have to wonder if that's a Smoky Mountain thing, because we called it. I didn't have one, but it was a, you know, let's throw it to the VCR in my day. But what the fuck ever. I loved it. I loved what Buddy did. You know, Horner did say that stupid Ajax reference that he stole from Robert Gibson. Jesus Christ. I don't know what else to say about Ajax. We for this being a wrestling show, we've talked about Ajax a bit too much. Wouldn't you agree, Doc?
Yes.
So Harper popped. I'm not sure if it'll come through on the edited version, but Harper popped on the Ajax comment and a few other things. Harper, did you
enjoy put
this?
Something on my back that fucking Ajax can't fucking take out?
That's a direct line from way back when the beginning, very beginning of the Robert Gibson, Jimmy Golden, and Gibson mumbled some shit. We had to go back and watch it three times and tell Mike what he said. It was like, I'm so you Ajax can't wash off. We had to go back and like figure out what he said.
No, he's not kidding. In the review show we did that week, like, I'm like, Gibson mumbled something. He goes, "You didn't understand it, did you?" I said, "Fuck no, I didn't understand it. I took notes and I did not get it." And Doc goes, "Bro, I rewound that shit about 100 times and I finally figured out that Robert Gibson mumbled, 'I'm going to put something on you that Ajax can't wash off, boy.' And sure enough, I went back and watched it and that's exactly what that motherfucker said. And I couldn't stop laughing." Anyway, so that's the Ajax reference. I don't know what else to say about that. About that at that point. So it is what it is. So, Doc, you got anything else before I find this next promo and get it queued up for us?
Nah, hit it.
Harper, what you got?
Go. What?
I said, you got anything else before I move forward?
No, I just love the fucking AJ fucking reference.
The Ajax reference.
Yeah, fucking Ajax.
So here we go. So we're still building the Summer Blast. So technically, as the TV aired, it's happening next weekend. So this is July 11th, right? So we got Summer Blast is actually not till the next weekend. So yeah, whatever. We'll move forward. I don't want to harp on that. So we got another house show promo with Hector and Tim Horner. This is a repeat of a promo from a couple weeks ago. It's real generic, you know, so trying to tell the fans of Smoky Mountain area to come out and see Smoky Mountain live when Smoky Mountain comes to your town. I'm not going to replay it because we played it, I think, 2 weeks ago on a show. So
it wasn't good then. So unless they went and practice some, it ain't going to be good now.
It's not very memorable at all. So whatever. We then go to the Fantastics, Bobby and Jackie Fulton. Bobby, let me say this, Bobby always shows great emotion. You know, Bobby says he feels terrible that the fans had to witness the nasty brawl that took place between the Heavenly Bodies and the Fantastics. Bob Cottle says, "Let's see again what happened." This brawl was recapped on a previous episode. We come back from the brawl with Bobby and Jackie with some words for us, so that's what I'm going to play right here.
"This thing's far from over as far as we're concerned.
I hate the fans had to see this.
Every time I see that, it's still unbelievable to me, Jack."
"Well, that's right, Bob. But you know what? Next week is going to be Summer Blast. We're going to have them right exactly where we want them. We're going to get them right in the ring. No holds barred. Everything goes. They've been talking about how we've been running. They won't talk anymore after we get through with them. Right, Bobby?"
"You know, I want to tell you, Bob Armstrong signed this match. It's a Smoky Mountain Wrestling street fight. That's right. You know, you did people think that that was a riot? And it cost me and my brother $1,500 apiece. Well, this one right here is going to be done legal. There's going to be no fines, brother. There's going to be one thing. We're going to find three men laying in the ring when the smoke clears, Bob Cottle. We're going to kick tail right there at Summer Blast, you know. I just wish Coronet and his men would come on out here because, like I said, we're not hard to find."
Wait a minute. Look, into the ring. There's Jim.
Hey, Fulton's. Let me just say one thing here for just 1 second. You know, we got that big thing coming up at Summer Blast next weekend. Smoky Mountain Street Fight. You got crippled once. You know, your brother, he was already a mental cripple, but then he was a physical cripple. So what I'm saying to you, in front of all these redneck hillbillies, I'm giving you a chance to chicken out now. Walk out that back door and admit you're gutless cowards, and we'll let you get out of this street fight without getting hurt, brother."
"Bob, excuse me 1 minute, but I'm going to go to that ring and shut that big mouth up once and for all."
All right, fans, and there go Bobby and Jackie toward the ring. Cornette said he wanted them. By golly, he's going to get them as they take off into the ring. Wait a minute. Here comes Stan Lane. Here comes Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Dutch. It's broken loose again, all up there in the ring. Look at it.
As you can see, my heavens, all four.
I think Jimmy Cornette suckered them in, and the Fantastic.
All right, Doc, I'll let you weigh in, because what we had here was basically Cornette suckered him in, like Dutch says at the very end right there. So what'd you think about the promo?
It was great. Corny was great. He was the bait, and it worked perfectly. My basic overall notes were five vets, counting Corny, that know how to conduct a feud and do this shit. The one thing I really liked here, and it's the little things, the attention to detail that's always appreciated, is that Jackie had a knee brace on his leg. Now
knee
that
brace,
motherfucker,
knee brace, and they have the stitches on their head and the bandages on their head, selling.
But that motherfucker
that been through.
That motherfucker no more had knee surgery in 1992 than I did, because he was over in Japan eating Ribera Steakhouse steaks and getting another jacket. He ain't had no surgery, but they put the knee brace on. Just making sure that everything is tied up nicely. Good job.
Southern wrestling at its finest. Harper, you had anything from that promo?
I like when he called him fucking mental cripple.
I didn't
something
catch
you,
it.
Something you could not do in 2017.
No.
You do that today, someone will get offended. Bo James and I had a long talk about offending people on his second appearance.
That was a few weeks back, huh?
Yeah. Well, by the time this aired, maybe the third part would have aired by then. But we talk about that, how, you know, like we talked about the Ron Wright flag, the Nazi flag. Look, man, none of us are saying that, you know, that was kosher back in the day and that was a great thing to do. But as far as, you know, in World War II, but man, we're just trying to have fun. We're trying to rouse up some emotions here and get some heat. So what do? You strike a nerve and strike a chord with someone, and that's exactly what they did. But yeah, you can't do that now. So yeah, you call somebody a mental cripple now, you'd have people wanting to sue you. Or
like a mental cripple.
It would be like that mom at the WWE event when that Kevin Owens called out that kid and she starts crying and shit. Well, that's what a heel's supposed to do. Oh boy. Wrestling's not what it was. So, hey, anything else before I move on to the next segment?
No.
I'll take that as a no. So we got Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel, the Dirty White Boy, and Paul Orndorff. The promo starts with Dirty White Boy Ron Wright and Paul Orndorff with a quick word. Then Dutch throws it to a short promo with Ronnie Garvin. Garvin tells Orndorff and Dirty White Boy he's got Brian Lee's back and they shouldn't have crossed the line by attacking him. Attacking primetime Brian Lee, that is. Now it's 2-on-2, though. They then show an old video package of Ronnie Garvin.
That shit's old as fuck.
Isn't it? It's crazy how old that is. He's battling various opponents. There's footage of Andre the Giant fighting Ronnie Garvin, which I thought was just, you know, great old stuff.
And Andre the Giant off his feet with Ronnie Garvin.
Right. You know, I've definitely never seen this in, you know, it's rather interesting to watch. It sounds like it's Les Thatcher is doing the narrating on the video package, and Les mentions at the end of it that Ronnie Garvin is known as the one-man gang, or was known as the one-man gang. He was like the first person to have that name, and Bo James taught me that the first time we talked, and I had never heard that before, so it was interesting hearing this now. So definitely there was a one-man gang before the one-man gang. That wasn't his official name, but people would like call him that almost as a nickname. So I don't know. It's just rather a nice little interesting video package that, like Doc said, Andre going off of his feet. So y'all got anything there before I throw it into the play in the promo?
That fucking video, it reminded me of those like videos you had to watch in school.
That's exactly those, like, what it was.
Those science videos or something that were old as fuck and you know how fucking tadpoles are made or something. It was just so old and so fucking cheesy.
You know what? That's because it's on an 8mm reel. It's that old reel video that they used to bring into our classrooms.
And fucking, what's with that mic that he's holding?
It's awful. And
we talked about that.
Everybody in Smoky Mountain uses it when they do offsite.
It's like a fucking ink pen in his hand or something.
I told Doc. I mean, I did TV in the late 90s, local promotion. We had more sophisticated mics than that, so I have no clue. A listener out there will know who's into audio and video and stuff, and they'll know. I mean, we're no pros on that, so I don't know, dude. Doc and I talked about that. I've never seen a mic like that.
It's goofy looking for a big old hoss motherfucker to be standing there with a little bitty skinny mic like that.
And a dead deer right behind him just staring at him.
Fucking
stuffed animal on the mantle, too.
Yeah. That would offend someone nowadays if you shot a video with an animal in the background, a trophy. Yeah. That would make somebody mad. It would. Somebody would get pissed off.
Yeah, anyway. Fuck you.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's go to the promo.
Did you notice that in there also, and I had this note, the world was a better place when the elbow drop was a good move? Because he was dropping some serious elbow drops in that package.
Of course.
I didn't think this was cheesy. I had in all caps in my notes, I love the recaps when they show footage from the past or from other promotions. Because how many other promotions are willing to do that and to acknowledge that things happen outside of their bubble and out in other places? So I really enjoy getting to see the history there, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like seeing that old footage. Lord knows where that footage came from. I'm sure Cornette knew someone. You know, they had enough people back then who knew people that would have. I mean, who knows?
Shit, it was voiced over by Les Thatcher. It could have been his.
Yeah, that's true too. That's true too. I don't know. I did like seeing that though. I liked it because I'd never seen it before.
Right.
I mean, it was brand new to me, as old as it is. So
that right, 8mm. That 8mm was grainy as fuck. I loved it.
Yeah, exactly. It sure was. All right, let's go to the footage now, or the promo now. We got Dutch with Ron Wright, Dirty White Boy, Mr. Wonderful, and it's Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel.
Guys, you taking a look at it? Wait a minute. I don't want to be the devil's advocate here, but you saw Garvin there. He was. I know you guys are heavy hitters. I know you got heavy artillery, but what we saw right there was Andre the Giant. We saw Bob Orton Jr. and we saw Joe LaDuke, amongst other people. Now,
people are giants.
Boys, I swear, I don't know whether you're going to be able to do anything with Garvin or not. You've seen what he done to them people there. That's unreal, Dutch. It ought to be against the law for you to come up here and show something on TV like that. You know I've got a bad heart, and I can't stand looking at that, knowing that these two beloved men going to have to go up again that wild, crazy idiot.
Calm down, Ron. Take your pills, baby. You don't have to worry about no Ronnie Garvin. So what, he beat Andre the Giant? I'm not Andre the Giant, neither this man. We're double tough, because me and this man right here is tough as any one kid on the block. And as far as Nick Superstar Ronnie Garvin is concerned, brother, you come and you throw your best shot right there, because I've been kicked by a mule before and it didn't drop me. Because this right here, I guarantee you, will drop any Ronnie Garvin. What do you think about it, baby?
You know something, Mr. Ron? You know what we are? We are giant killers. And I want to tell you, you can take anything the way modern technology is, and you can take an elephant and beat an ant, or an ant and beat an elephant. It doesn't really matter to us, because we're going to beat you when we step into the ring.
Okay, Summer Blast fans, coming up next weekend, Ronnie Garvin, Primetime Brian Lee, against a Dirty White Boy and Mr. Wonderful Paul O'Rourke. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Tell it like it is, Doug.
All right, Doc, go ahead. Have fun with this one.
They're doing everything. I mean, this is by the playbook. This is to a T. Ron Wright's scared for his men. His men are overconfident, irrational confidence. Dirty White Boy is saying he's bigger and badder than Andre the Giant. Orndorff is spouting something about downing technology. And Ron Wright seems legitimately upset. And we get an again him. It ought to be again the law.
I think Ron Wright doesn't know how to say against, or he's just a hell of an actor. One of the two. Because I think it's brilliant when he does it. It ought to be against the law to show a package like that in that garden. I don't know, boys. I see that man. That man sitting there. That man put it on, man. He beat them giants, man. I don't know, brother. And then Paul Orndorff's like, oh, come on, Ron, just take a pill. Ron, take another. And then Ron goes for the pill in the pocket. He goes right for the pill and reaches for his heart. And I don't know. I can't get enough of Ron Wright, man. I'm a Ron Wright mark to no end. I'm a Ron Wright guy, man. That's all I can say. I'm a Ron Wright guy. I loved it. I don't know. Harper, your thoughts?
Yeah. Does he ever get out the chair?
No spoilers here.
Because I keep waiting for him to get up out the goddamn chair, man.
Bro, well, he sort of did a couple of episodes ago when Hector Guerrero was getting choked out.
Yeah, but
lynched.
He sold it well. He sold it well when he was holding on to the ropes, too. I mean, he wasn't just standing there. But to your point, the first thing I said when I saw Ron Wright on episode 1 or 2 talking about, I'm just a weak old, feeble old man.
He was looking for some gentleman wrestlers.
I'm looking for a couple gentlemen wrestlers to help me get my hip surgery and my heart implant. And I mean, he's needed so many different surgeries at this point. The first thing I said was, when's this motherfucker coming out that chair? First thing I said. So, no spoiler. I actually don't know when and if, but I don't know. I've read some stuff, so we'll leave it at
wait,
that.
Wait, all I'll say, and this isn't too much of a spoiler, but just wait until Ron Wright gets hooked up with Sonny.
What?
You heard me. I ain't making reference to our fun times on talking sex tapes on the regular show. Later on in this promotion, when Sonny shows up, her and Ron Wright are together.
Oh, Lord.
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
I guess his heart, he'll fucking really need some fucking heart fucking medicine then.
Well, can you imagine Sonny putting it on that old man?
Because that's when she was young and fucking drop dead gorgeous.
Do you think she sold it better back then? Unlike when you're making fun of it on the regular show. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think she was performing well?
No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, she, according to her book, man, she put it on Shawn Michaels a bunch of times while her and Candido. I don't want to go there. I feel bad for Candido.
It sounded like while Candido was watching, but
I feel bad for Candido, man.
And that guy got treated poorly. Dude, but he did get to bang Sunny when she was hot, so I don't
feel
too
sorry.
Yeah,
but still, no, I feel, I don't want to get into it, but according to Bruce Pritchard, man, that dude got treated bad. All right, let's go to the next match. We got the Battens versus the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
I predict that since we're right before Summer Blast and we're getting ready to have this feud, this will not go well for the Battens.
I'm predicting the same thing, and I like what they did here. So the Battens get the upper hand in early on with a sequence.
Whoa, let me interrupt again. Before the match starts, did you notice the commercial where WCW's pay-per-view
Schlitz Small Liquor
was sponsored by the Bull. It was sponsored by Schlitz Small Liquor Bull in Charlotte.
I did not have a note there, but now that you say that, I do.
I came unglued because I kind of zone out and I'm reading, kind of getting my thoughts together between when they kind of do the bring Smoky Mountain to your civic center. And all of a sudden I started, what the fuck was that I just heard? And I rewound it and I came unglued.
That was beautiful, that commercial. I'm assuming whoever uploaded it too kept that in there for a reason, for nostalgia purposes like that. Because if you notice, they cut out all the other commercials. They cut everything out, whoever's doing these videos.
And they finally changed the commercial for the, hey, fans, if y'all want to see Smoky Mountain wrestling, it's all faces now. It's not,
you mean they took off the part of the video where Jackie Fulton is getting hung by a Russian chain because they're trying to sell it to church groups and civic organizations. Yes, they took that off. I have noticed that. I think they did it last episode, but I could be wrong.
Wrestling has a hold on me. I want that kid's hat.
All right, let's get to the match. So the Battens get the upper hand in the early on with a sequence that leads to the Battens delivering a double drop kick to Orndorff and the Dirty White Boy. Dutch says it could be that the Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff are preoccupied with Ronnie Garvin and primetime Brian Lee. Now, I say this oftentimes during these reviews, but Dutch Mantel is excellent on commentary, pointing out things like this that you'd never hear in today's commentary because they're busy fucking selling other bullshit in their wrestling shows.
You know why that? Right, because he didn't have to get out there and pimp Snickers or Skittles or the upcoming pay-per-view or subscribing to the network or throwing it to some highlight package of what just happened like 3 minutes ago that I've already seen.
Right. So, finally, the heels do get the upper hand on the Battens, getting some good double teams in on the Battens with a double clothesline. The Dirty White Boy is in the ring with one of the Battens, and he sends him to the floor through the ropes. Orndorff goes to the outside, grabs the Batten, and pile drives him on the floor. And, pile drive somebody on the floor, they're supposed to be dead, and he's dead at this point. That Batten twin, whichever one he was, is dead. He's out cold. He's not moving. This allows Orndorff and the Dirty White Boy to get some major heat on the Battens, who is in the ring. It's key to point out that Orndorff, even in 92, I've said this a bunch of times, he still looks tremendous, and he does a great pile driver. We act like 92 is so far away from, the mid-80s in the WWF, but I don't know. It just feels like this guy still had a lot to offer as a wrestling heel to me. Out of nowhere, after the remaining Batten twin is being worked over in the ring for what seems like forever. I mean, Doc, didn't that shit feel like went on forever?
Mm-hmm.
It drug way too long for my liking. But anyway, primetime Brian Lee hits the ring to be the remaining Batten Twins partner now for the rest of the tag match in the corner. He is now on the outside looking to get tagged in. Finally, the Batten Twin makes the hot tag. This match is too long. And he comes in cleaning house. The fans are going nuts as primetime Brian Lee is giving the business to Dirty White Boy and Orndorff. It's a great scene at this point, although the match was long. It reminds you of how great territory wrestling was in this small, you know, smoke-filled gymnasiums and auditoriums. Eventually, Orndorff and Dirty White Boy throw the remaining Batten Twin over the top rope, which leads to referee Mark Curtis to call for a DQ. Orndorff and Dirty White Boy to continue to put the boots to primetime Brian Lee at this point. Finally, after forever, Nitro, Danny Davis, and Robert Gibson hit the ring as the heels. Powder out the ring. You know, this match, it served its purpose. I don't think anybody took it serious that the Battens would get a win over these two, as these are built into a main storyline on the show. So, Doc, what are your thoughts?
My God, he piled drove a man outside the ring. What is he going to do to our beloved hero, Primetime Brian Lee? They're just setting up Summer Blast, and in my opinion, they're doing it well.
And he's dead. He's on the outside of the ring, and he ain't fucking moving.
Even
somebody
fucking,
stopped the damn match.
Rick Cannon fucking runs out to go assist him.
Yep. Right. I remember that. I didn't have it in my notes, but Rick Cannon's out there. He's trying to, like, check on him. But he's out. He just pile-drived a man on a hardwood gymnasium floor. You know, the dude is gone. He ain't getting up. You do that shit. I don't know if they'd pile drive somebody nowadays, but they frequently DDT people on the outside and do all kind of other shit. And, you know, 2 minutes later, they're getting up.
Yeah.
Nah, mm-mm. None of that shit here. This motherfucker's out. And I liked it. So I did like that of it. And we get the DQ. And Mr. Wonderful, Dirty White Boy, go off looking strong, putting the boots to the baby faces, chased off chicken shit heels the way it should be. Wrestling the way it used to be and wrestling the way we like it.
Kind of makes you wonder where we all went wrong here.
It was called the WWE took over everything.
Thanks, Vince.
If you notice, they didn't disqualify him for throwing a guy over the ropes.
They use the rule book to their for their own needs and when it's convenient and smoking.
No. Mark Curtis did call for the bell when he threw him over. He starts making
did
a signal.
He?
Yeah, he did. He did. But Doc is right. They do use the rule book conveniently for what they want to, which I'm fine with that. I like that. I don't have so much a problem with that. I actually think that's one of the things that WD might. I didn't think this maybe a year ago, but I think they get overly criticized for not following the quote unquote rule book. But their problem is they change the rules too often too. All right, we go to anything else, Doc, before I move on.
Mm-mm.
All right, we go to the next segment, which is a Bob Caudle and Robert Gibson promo. Bob throws us to the controversial ending of a recent match between Jimmy Golden and Robert Gibson that occurred at a house show. We talked about this last episode where Jimmy Golden uses a foreign object to defeat Gibson. Gibson is now responding to what occurred in Jimmy Golden's promo from last week. We poked fun. This is the one where Doc said Jimmy Golden talks about never using a chain as he's holding a chain. So that was the beauty of that. So let me get this promo started, and we will listen to what Doc's favorite promo, Robert Gibson, has to say.
Robert, I think it's pretty obvious he beat you with a foreign object.
That's right, but I'm going to tell you something, guy. Jimmy Gold, you've been going around telling about everybody that I beat you. Sure, I beat you. When you pull out that foreign object, hit me upside my head, yeah, put my lights out. I'm going to say one thing. Now, next time in the Super Bash, Summer Bash right there in Knoxville, I'm going to get two fans out there. I'm going to bring them to the ring with me, make sure they search you down when you have nothing on you, and I will beat you.
He's going to be searched by the fans. All right, we'll be back. We'll have more right after this timeout.
Harper, I hope he picks us to be the two fans that search Jimmy Golden.
I'll pat him down.
Harper, did you enjoy that, or were you kind of like me? What the fuck did he just say?
Bruh, he's like the Micro Machine guy that's fucking mumbling.
Imagine that voice saying, I'm going to put some of you Ajax can't wash off. That's what happened.
There's a reason that Ricky Morton is the talker of the two of them. In the
My bowl. Exact yeah. notes for this was, Morton, where are you?
Which you frequently say. So, but anyway, right. We've said it a million times. Gibson's strong point is not his mic work, but
no.
he's a hell of a performer in the ring.
That's right. Eyes. We love Gibson. We love the fact that he ate green beans at the Hardy compound a while back at Apocalypto. But, you know, you got to maximize and minimize strengths and weaknesses here.
As Paul Heyman always famously said, you accentuate the positives and hide the negatives or opportunities. And that's, I don't know, you know, that's what the rock and roll was. I mean, there were a lot of positives, and Gibson's promos weren't the positive part of it. So, but they hid that well. So anyway, no spoilers again. Ricky Morton, we see you though, brother. Okay. All right. Let's go to the next promo. We got it's a repeat promo of the Dirty White Boy and Buddy Landell. Same promo from a couple of weeks ago that these guys cut, where they both seem to be wired and talking crazy. You got to see what we did in episode 22 on this and walk through the details if you really want to know more. But Doc, well, let me ask you this, Doc. Do you want me to play this again?
Or yeah.
Because Harper wants to react
if
to it.
If it was just me and you, I would say no. But since Harper has joined the show since we originally talked about this, I think it would be worth it to go ahead and play it.
All right, here it is. The Dirty White Boy and Buddy Landell in, no disrespect to Buddy, but we think they may be on something here. So hold on 1 second.
Wrestling fans, everybody is talking about Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling throughout Virginia, throughout Tennessee, over in North Carolina. Everybody wants to be at ringside to see Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling. And everybody wants to be at ringside to see stars like Nature Boy Buddy Landell, who's wreaked a lot of havoc right here in the Smoky Mountain area.
Well, you know, let me give a little bit of insight here. A lot of people don't know this, but the Dirty White Boy and the Nature Boy, we went to high school together. Remember, you didn't really like me that much, see, because the Nature Boy was a woman's man, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
I'd be home with my hair. No, but you was a headhunter.
I'm a man.
You was a headhunter.
You know,
remember? He was taking heads off, beating people up. I always had a bad attitude.
Still do.
Yeah.
Still do. You talking about bad attitudes. You talking about loud mouth. You talking about somebody getting nasty. I'm talking about this man right here, Nature Boy Buddy Landell. He knows what it's all about, just like I do.
You know, sometimes you got to get a little mean, and you got to get a little nasty. You know, you got to peel everything off, and then you got to get real wild.
And then if you got to go down, and you got to pull somebody's eye out, or reach your head down their throat,
and pull her big tongue out, ain't nothing for me and the Nature Boy, right?
You know what? We ain't in Madison Square Garden. We ain't in the Cow Palace out in San Francisco. You know why? We got bad attitudes. That's why. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, baby. This is where it's happening. You got to be tough to work here now, people. Y'all up around in Virginia Hills and Tennessee, y'all know what I'm talking about. Ain't no kissing hind end around here, baby. Ain't no brown nosing going on.
No.
I don't know how to do politics. If I would, I'd be world champion. But I ain't. Where's Smoky Mountain Mac? My Smoky Mountain Wrestling reaping havoc. Just like we was in high school.
Somebody
said
something.
Wrestling fans, when Smoky Mountain Wrestling comes to your area, don't forget to have a ringside seat to see two of the meanest guys in the Smoky Mountain area.
Well, Harper, you know, Doc and I have talked about this ad nauseum. So I'll let you, since you haven't really shared your thoughts with the good people of the hashtag BTT Army on Twitter, I'll let you share your thoughts on this promo and see if you can bring some original thoughts that Doc and I haven't already said about this promo.
It's the best promo fucking ever. They just give zero fucks. They give zero fucks. And I love the fucking LA Gear fucking muscle shirt he's wearing. And he's wearing those fucking bike shorts that fucking coaches used to wear when I was a little kid.
It's so awesome. Yes, I know what you mean. The bike shorts. We don't mean literally biker shorts, the ones that are, you know, skin tight. We mean the bike shorts, the coaches shorts.
Yeah, right, dude. Yes. I'm like, why in the fuck is he wearing that? The fuck is he wearing coaches shorts for?
Doc, you got anything? He's over there. You popped him, Harper. He can't even get it out. He's laughing so hard.
So Mild Mike and I had a text exchange last night. There's a better than zero chance that they're shooting when they say they went to high school together. Because I did a little looking, and they're both from Knoxville, Tennessee, for real. And they're within a year of each other. So I'm not suggesting that there's only one high school in Knoxville, Tennessee, because I know it's a big enough town. But there's a chance that they really went to high school together and that Landell was mowing through trim and that Dirty White Boy was beating people up. When I watched this again, and I enjoyed it again, I know I put on here, I bet Dirty White Boy could help you rebuild a carburetor while he's drinking all your beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
see. Now,
see,
what
see
your
that.
Problem is right here is the intake valve. Oh, could you give me another beer real quick? And before you know it, your carburetor's redone and all your beer's gone.
Dude,
but your car's running.
He's the dude. He's the, let me tell you something. I'll pull back the curtain a little. He's the old guy in my old neighborhood, New Orleans. He's the old black guy who literally worked on the cars, shade tree mechanic, but could do that shit better than any dealership known to man. And the whole time he's doing it, he's sipping on beer and he's got a cigarette in his mouth that he's just chilling. And he's just out there to help the good people in his community. That's the dirty white boy, except the Knoxville, Tennessee version, not the New Orleans 8th and 9th Ward version. I'm telling you, it's the same thing, dude. It's the same thing. And it's great. It's great. But, dude, Landell is so – I firmly believe Landell is higher than giraffe pussy right here, man.
Ask you. You think he really fucking meant to say it like that, or that's just how he fucking talks?
I think he was just wired.
That, and when he says, "We got bad attitude."
Like, it was like Harper said, especially Landell, gave zero fucks about anything. He was like, "Fuck this shit. If I was a politician, I'd be world champion." I mean, he did everything but drop the F-bomb on air, to be honest with you.
And, you know, that you can tell that's not scripted because you couldn't script that.
Hell no. You ain't scripting that back in the day.
Mm-mm. Nah.
It was beautiful. Anything else before I move to the last segment of the show? Because this is that. Nah. That was great. That was great. That was Buddy. Buddy at his finest, man. We miss you, Buddy. We wish you were still here. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I'd love to have you on the show, and that's not going to happen because you're not here anymore, man. But that was a beautiful promo. Okay, and here we go. Let's see. We got Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies. They're going to be facing Gary Scott and Rick Cannon. And at the very beginning of the match, there's a bit of a promo, so let me play it here.
Wrestling fans, again, Gary Scott and Rick Cannon.
Let me tell you people something. Because of those stinking no-good fantastics breaking things over my man Stan Lane's ear, they've busted his eardrum, they've wrecked his inner ear, and he's got to wear headgear as protection to be able to wrestle. So what I'm telling you people is, it's very painful for him with a busted eardrum, so keep the noise down as low as possible.
Okay, I let it play for a little while because I wanted to get the commentary from Dutch and Bob Cottle at the very beginning of it. But Doc, I'll let you go first. Go ahead and weigh in on the commentary of the or Jim Cornette on the promo at the beginning of the match.
We'll start with Corny, and my note here was cheap heat is still heat.
I agree. There's a lot of wrestling people out there in minds that don't agree with that, but I do agree. Ain't nothing wrong with some cheap heat.
He had a crowd that had been sitting there for hours, most likely, and he had to do something to get them back involved. So what did he do is tell him to be quiet because the heel has a busted eardrum.
I 100% liked it. Harper, what'd you think about it?
Yeah, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, you know?
Get the people off their hand, off their asses.
Yeah, yep. And he did it in basically the most easiest way.
WWE, take note. Take note, WWE. It's not hard.
No.
It ain't that fucking hard, guys. We ain't building a rocket. We get guys over in a fake fucking business.
Said so eloquently by Kevin Sullivan over a year ago now on the MSL and Sullivan show. So, anyway. All right, we'll get to the match now. I thought it was brilliant. I thought what they did was great. You know, he tells the fans to keep the noise as low as possible, which of course is going to make them, you know, come up out of their asses and make some noise. Doc, we had this discussion offline, and I wanted to bring it to air. I'll say we, but maybe it's not just we, maybe it's just I, have a theory that Wallace Stanfield Lane
may have been having hairpiece issues, which is the reason for his water polo hat. That, you know, you want to add to this, or do you think
I think we need to get the great Brian Last back on sometime soon and have a talk about that. I don't know. I did wonder if Stan Lane's friends from other promotions around the business saw this on TV and were like calling him and going, "Dude, what the fuck are you doing?"
No, I don't think so. I think they may have seen it and were like, "Geez, that's pretty good for a heel move." I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. We're making fun of it, but we're making fun of it because it's genius. It's fucking great, is what it is. It looks stupid as hell, but he's a heel. He's not supposed to be cool. So I don't know. Who knows? They probably did. They probably called him.
Yeah, I remember when Kurt Angle did something like that when he first shaved his head and he wore the wig.
Doc, I checked out at that point. Do you remember that on WWF?
And he wore the old school headgear basically to keep the wig on.
Well, if we're going to talk about things that Kurt Angle wore on his head, I'll never, ever get over popping over Stone Cold putting that little cowboy hat on him.
That was pretty goddamn brilliant, I must say, with the cowboy hat. That was really good. That was some funny stuff. All right, we'll get back to it. So, you know, Bob Caudle, give credit. He sells the crowd being loud and making sure Lane's, you know, ears hurt even more. You know, he's saying, look, the crowd is into it, and Stan Lane, it's already bothering him. He's holding his ears. It's a very quick match. Of course, we knew it would be. It's Gary Scott and Rick Cannon. That ends with Dr. Tom suplexing Scott in less than a minute and pinning him. Then the Heavenly Bodies proceed to continue to beat on Scott and Cannon. Scott and Cannon are saved by the Fantastics as Bobby and Jackie hit the ring, and they start mixing it up with the Heavenly Bodies. Based on Bob Caudle's reaction, it would appear that this is then turned into an actual match that they will show the conclusion of at the beginning of next week's episode. Bob Caudle says, "We're out of time. We'll catch you next week," which, of course, is, we said this last time, it's always how it happened in the territories. We'll have to wait till next week to see how this thing plays out, though. And they send us off air. So with that said, Doc, your thoughts?
Going off the air hot right before Summer Blast.
I agree. Harper, what about you?
Yes, that's the reason why I stopped going to church, man.
What?
When I was a little kid, they had a, I used to go to, my mom used to go to 11 o'clock mass at St. Anne's, and I would watch wrestling one Sunday, and the next Sunday I would go to church, and it ended with the Steiner brothers and the Road Warriors going at it. And then, like, we'll see you next week with the conclusion, blah, blah, blah. And so I had to stay next week to watch the fucking wrestling. I couldn't go to church. And I ain't go to church again since.
He's credited in wrestling for making him an atheist.
I was like, I gotta see, you know, I gotta see what happened at the end. And I was like, I can't go to church next week, man. I gotta see who in the hell won this match. And that's basically what they did there.
Doc, you got any thoughts about Harper's commentary there?
I think it's a little bit of a stretch to blame your future stint in hell on wrestling, but whatever.
No, I said I stopped going to church.
He didn't say he stopped believing in God.
Yeah, I'm still a good Catholic white boy from Metairie.
He's still a good Catholic white boy from Metairie.
You got to go to church. Let me tell you something. Let me pull back this curtain for the people.
Oh, shit. Don't start with the church. We're going to have this discussion. This is going to be a discussion on a patron-only member show.
If half the stuff you tell us are true once the red light goes off, you need to can that I'm a good Catholic boy shit.
Oh, boy. I love it. This is great. We're almost at the end of this week's episode, so let's start closing things out. I just want to remind everyone, if you're a first-time listener, please subscribe to us. And, you know, we're everywhere. iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. But we could use some more 5-star reviews on iTunes. It really helps us out with the show rankings when we get more 5-star reviews. Basically, what I'm saying is, if you do a search on iTunes for professional wrestling, the more 5-star reviews you have on your pro wrestling podcast, the higher you are up when those, you know, searches are done. So more
and we want and we want to be we want to be as high as Buddy Landale and the Dirty White Boy. So let's hit it.
Let's hit it. So you know, give us some 5-star reviews on iTunes. I'm begging you. And then also on iTunes, the other reviews that are 5 stars, click yes that they're helpful. So you go back through it and click yes on each one of those. That would be very appreciated. All right, follow us on Twitter. We're at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper is at @CJHWhoDat. And every time you see us drop a new episode on Twitter, please retweet it. That's how people find the show. So if you enjoy what we're doing, I'm asking you every single time, hit the retweet button when I post them. I'd appreciate it. It helps us out tremendously, like I said. Same thing on Facebook. We're on Facebook.com/BookingTheTerritory. When you see me post the show, hit the share button. So many people find this show from shares and retweets that it's hard to explain. I get messages on the Facebook page and on Twitter every single day. Hey, I found you because my friend that I follow retweeted or shared it. So please share, retweet every single time, and we'd appreciate it. Are you a BTT Podcast Patreon member yet? Well, look, please become one. You can go to mikemills.podbean.com. There's some real cheap options, $1 or $2 a month. When you join, you can, you know, you can get on air. You can cut a fucking promo on Doc Turner. There's even an option. There's some higher options. But look, if you only want to support for $1 or $2 a month, the 8 free episodes we drop each and every month. You know, we got 2 shows a week for you guys. They're free. We're not charging. So please, 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 please help us out. Help grow the show. Help me pay some of the bills that I have to pay with this show and become a patron member. Amazon, you can purchase things via our Amazon referral link. We get a little small kickback. That's at mikemills.podbean.com as well at the very top of the page. And if you want to make a one-time donation, you can use the PayPal donation link also at the very top. We have our Pro Wrestling Tees store. That's another way to support the show. Just go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the Shop Now button, and you can purchase your very own Pro Wrestling Tees, Book in the Territory, or Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt. Doc, it is time. Harper, it is time to hand out some government cheese and do some disability checks. So let's do some disability checks first. Doc, I'll let you go first on the disability.
I thought this was a little bit of a lackluster episode for a go-home show, I guess. But I'm wondering if some of that is just because the crowd had been in that arena since daylight and it's now nighttime. And if that affected some of the show. Again, just like last week, though, while we were talking about it and cutting up and yucking about it, I did up my disability check just a little bit. I'm going to come in at 6.4.
Damn. That's crazy. I'm looking at my sheet right now as we're talking, and I'm at 6.5.
You're starting to grade tougher because you've watched more episodes. I told you that shit would happen.
Yeah, well, it's not only that. I just felt like last week I gave it a 7, and I'm like, this episode wasn't as good as that, so that's why I went.
No. Yeah, last week was better.
Yeah, last 23. Week was better. It was. Yeah. Last week was better. And we've had some, even before 23, that were even better than this, better than 23. So, yeah, I had to go with a 6.5. Harper, what are you giving it?
I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, it's definitely not the – it's not the class of Smoky Mountain. What I mean by that is not one of those episodes that you go, holy shit, that's can't miss TV right there. Still a good episode, but it's definitely not can't miss TV.
No.
Government Cheese Award. Harper, I'm going to put you on the spot. You want to give out a government cheese check?
Let's see. Out of a whole damn episode?
Yeah.
I guess I gave it to fucking Corny. For that fucking promo he did at the end. About telling the fucking rednecks to shut up because they're going to hurt fucking, what's his name's fucking ears.
Corny over you. Corny's favorite line in Smoky Mountain is always rednecks and hillbillies.
Yeah. And it works every fucking time.
It sure does. Every time, without a doubt. 100% works every single time.
Because they really are.
Yeah. Oh, shit. They're not going to like that one either.
See? It works every time, see?
It works every time. Doc, you got a government cheese award?
My government cheese award goes to the segment of recaps with Ronnie Garvin because I thought I thoroughly enjoyed it and watching him beat up on people in the past. So it lended an air of legitimacy to combine with last week's clip with Ric Flair to set up Ronnie Garvin as being a force to be reckoned with when he's never stepped foot in the promotion yet.
I would have to agree with that. I'm going to give mine to the pile driver on the outside to the Batten twin and the man being basically dead. Because nowadays, no one seems to sell like that anymore.
Nowadays, he would have kicked out of that shit.
Yes. Yeah. So I got to go with the pile driver on the floor. Again, it's a moment. I mean, it's not a promo, but it's a moment in the show that, I don't know, I just think there's something to it where a guy gets pile driven on the floor and he's out of it. And, you know, I don't know if I like the primetime Brian Lee all of a sudden becomes the tag team. You know, he's all of a sudden now eligible to be his tag partner. But, you know, I do like the fact that the man's out of it and he's gone. I mean, you don't see him the rest of the match. So I'd have to give it that. All right, y'all. You got anything else before we get out of here, man? That was the best Smoky Mountain episode, but it still holds up better than most Monday Night Raws.
Yeah.
All and by some of them you mean all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yep.
I don't.
100%.
Yeah. Let me tell y'all, he broke kayfabe with me, so to say, the other day. This asshole was talking to me at work, and he goes, "Well, I just tell the marks that I don't watch, but I'm watching that shit, talking about Raw and SmackDown and everything." He didn't want me to know that. I'm like, he wanted me to admit, you know, by the time this airs, that I really cared about the Green Bay Dallas game that's coming up this weekend. Again, this is long history by now, but he wanted me to give my assessment on the Green Bay Dallas Cowboys game of the divisional playoff round in the NFL. I was like, I don't fucking care. I don't give a shit about either.
I just hope Atlanta don't do a fucking thing.
They ain't gonna do nothing. They're gonna lose.
They better.
By the time this airs, we'll have already hoisted
Super Bowl.
It'll probably be baseball season, and and we will be have hoisted the Lombardi Trophy high above our heads as for the sixth time in franchise history.
I don't give two shits, and I'll repeat what
mean that you're rooting for the Cowboys. I like that.
I don't give a flying fuck about the Cowboys. Fuck the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you going to have the game on? Are you going to have the game on Sunday?
I ain't watching that bullshit.
Just like I do with Ross. So there you go.
Fuck them. Fuck them. I'm going to repeat it. Fuck them.
I'm going to watch it.
Mm-hmm. I don't give two shits about them. I'd rather watch 3 hours of Raw than that bullshit NFL work.
Well, now we need to close down the show because you need to go seek medical attention. So let's get out of here.
All right, everybody. Like I said, subscribe to the show. Please seriously consider becoming a patron member. We'd appreciate it. You know, it really does help when you are a member. I mean, there are bills to pay with this show, and it helps out with that. So become a patron member. Go to mikemills.podbean.com. You'll have your chance to cut your very own promo on Doc Turner. And, hell, you can cut one on me. I really don't care if it's a good one. So, all right, y'all. That's it. Let me throw it over to Hardbody Harper and get us out of here with his now-famous tagline. Hit the tagline, Harper.
Book it, bitch.